Good choice of music, Candace.
Very on the nose.
Yes. It is 7:09 on WCCO Radio. Thank you for joining us. Yes, we love our music on this show, and Candace has put together a fantastic playlist of music we like to kind of sprinkle in as we can. We appreciate that. It is time for Car Care with our buddy Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. We are taking your car-related questions this morning either by text or by phone. The number is the same, 651-461-9226. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. What are you up to this morning?
Just enjoying all that rain we got yesterday.
Yeah.
We can shut the sprinklers off for a minute and let things soak in, huh?
Yeah, isn't that great? And now today we're supposed to just have this beautiful, beautiful day without humidity and I think low 80s. So that's fantastic. Yes. Is there anything coming to mind for you this morning, Nick, that people should be thinking about with their cars right now as we're heading into the kind of the, I don't want to say the tail end of summer, but kind of the last full month of summer driving and anything that you want to bring up today?
Yeah, we were just talking about that at our house too, how, you know, kids go back to school here in a few weeks and just trying to prepare things and plan for things, whether it's, you know, it's school supplies or getting the car ready or, you know, getting furniture for a kid headed off to college. So I think putting the car on that list is probably a good idea. I know we touch on that and people always say, what do I need to have looked at? What do I need to do? And quite honestly, I think just getting the car and have it looked over, even if it's not due for an oil change. Just before you said that kid has stayed over across the country, across the city, have it brought into your mechanic. Just let them know that, hey, I'm sending this young one off to college. I just want to make sure that the car is going to be safe and good for them until they come back for the holidays, let's say. So that's a long period of time. And in that period of time, a lot of times there's a season change, obviously. And we go from 80 degree weather to snow. And you want to make sure like the tires and the brakes, the wiper blades, which yesterday is the first time we've used in months. So if you notice yesterday you're driving and your wiper blades weren't working very well, next time it's in, put that on the list and get them replaced. So it's just little subtle reminder. When you're driving your vehicle, you notice something or you're curious about something, take a note. You know, I was at Lloyd's yesterday afternoon when the fellas were closing up, and I noticed one thing is I think that the secret sauce is good communication. What I mean by that is the customers come in and the service advisors are informed. They're sharing the details of what was completed. They're sharing the details of what they're recommended to keep an eye on. You know, not everything that comes in every day needs all the work done. A lot of times we can plan for the future. We can budget for the future, whether it's 3 months, 6 months, a year down the road. With that communication, you build that relationship with your customers and with your mechanic. It allows for a little bit better level of trust and more reliability with your vehicle, quite honestly.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, Nick, because I think when some of us think of having communication with a shop that is working on our car and they want to talk to us, the first thing that pops in your mind is, okay, here we go. What's this going to cost me? What are they going to tell me that I need that maybe I really don't? It just kind of hits home the importance of going with a place that you trust where you feel that people have your best interests in mind and not and are not just trying to make a buck here. So talk a little bit about how do you coach your guys to talk to customers so people feel comfortable and like they're not getting taken for a ride?
Well, I think it's really simple. So part of my opinion is a lot of times, you know, we're all human. And we don't know everything about a car. We don't know exactly how to explain everything about a car. And I think sometimes when folks are trying to communicate and explain something, they might come off uncertain or a little bit confused, and that creates a little distrust with the customer. So I think if you could own it and say, you know, I'm not the expert on this, but here's how I understand how it works. Here's why we need to do it. And here's what's going to happen. You know, here's the result of all that. So if you're willing to be honest, share the strengths, weaknesses, ask for help, all those little things that are sometimes intimidating to do. But the same goes for the customer too. When somebody's talking to you and you're like, God, this doesn't seem right. Say, hey, I hear what you're saying, but I just don't understand. Can you help me understand this better? It's a lot of money and I want to make sure I understand what I'm getting for that money. easily said for you and I having a conversation over the radio, but it's sometime in person or over the phone, it's difficult for people to do that. And I truly believe that people are not trying to be dishonest. I just think sometimes trying to explain those things in a manner where everyone understands, even themselves, sometimes can be a little more difficult than we think.
Yeah, especially if you're not really a car head and don't know the lingo, and then somebody's trying to explain something to you in words that you don't really know what they mean. So thanks for breaking that down, Nick. We do have a caller on the line, Jimmy in Elk River. What's your question for Nick Stoffel?
Hey, Nick. Thanks for having me on. I have a 22 BMW X5 GO5 series, and it has about 60,000 miles on it. I'm the second owner. It was taken care of by BMW and or Audi of Minneapolis its entire life until I have it, and now I'm a do-it-yourselfer until the computer comes involved. I have a small, out of nowhere kick or vibration that I can feel in the steering wheel. I've looked at the suspension. I've looked at the tie rod, inner and outer, with the car up in the air. The only movement I can find is in the U-joint that's actually in the steering column, right above the suspension column, right above the suspension. And in my past, I didn't think U-joints should have any play in it, and I can move that U-joint, I'm going to say vertically, like up and down the shaft, but it is a collapsible shaft due to accidents. So is that movement in that U-joint normal, and I should be looking other places for this noise that I can feel in my steering wheel or this movement that I can feel?
Well, that's a good question. I would say yes. On a collapsible steering column, which, like, as you mentioned, is designed for in the event of an accident, you don't end up eating the steering column. It collapses and protects you. But you know, as far as movement goes, a U-joint itself should not have any movement. That sleeve, that vertical sleeve, will have a little bit. So it's hard to know, are you isolating just to the U-joint or the sleeve itself? You know, maybe there's also something further up internally in the steering column that might have some plastic pieces that maybe a little excessive wear for a little bit of, you know, like nick or ticking that you're calling it. The steering columns are so precise, and the smallest amount of movement down where it's just very small diameter, when it comes up the steering column up to the steering wheel, can seem like a lot of movement, but it really isn't. You might want to take it in the experts, have them look at it, get an opinion on it. But as far as the U-joint itself, it should be tight. But as you mentioned, that sleeve, that vertical sleeve, should have a little bit of free play in it.
Great. Thank you for the call, Jimmy. We appreciate it. If you have a question for Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, we'd love to hear from you. Either call us or text us, 651-461-9226. We're going to take a break right now, Nick, and then we do have a couple of texters on the line. A question about a battery, another question about some braking issues. Stay with us on CCO. Yes, indeed. Thank you for making us a part of your morning today. It's going to be a beautiful day with highs in the low 80s, no humidity, lots of sunshine. Hope you can get yourself some fun plans going. You're listening to Car Care on WCCO Radio with our friend Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, taking your questions at 651-461-9226. We like your calls, we like your texts, and we do have a caller on the line, Candace. Who do we have?
All right, we have Chip from St. Paul.
Hi, Chip. Go ahead. What's your question for Nick?
Yeah, hi. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I have a 2013 Mazda 5 with about 100,000 miles on it, and I just returned from a long trip to Maine, and there's two things that I'm concerned about. First of all, when I come off the freeway and I hit on the brakes, I notice that it shakes. A little bit, not a lot, especially with all the stuff that was in it. And the second thing is when I go between 65 and 70, it starts to shake. And I had the wheel balance checked on the trip, and they said the wheels are perfectly well balanced. Otherwise, the car is old, but it's working okay. And I was curious, what would be the likely cause of the shimmy, and am I on the road for a new set of brakes? Would that fix both of those? I also was curious if the three kayaks on the roof would cause any issue with vibration. So that's my question.
I think good questions and good insight there. Coming off the highway on the off-ramp with the little extra shimmy, that would be the brake rotors heating up. It might be because you had the extra load in there, extra weight in there. See how it drives going forward here. Unfortunately, once those brake rotors become warped, they're going to need replacement, which likely would mean a brake job. But, you know, have it inspected. Try driving around again now, knowing that you don't have all the equipment, all the gear out of the vehicle, the kayaks off the roof. See if it's better. The 65 to 70, I was thinking something with the tire balance, but you said you had that done. Another thing you can do is if it continues without the weight and without those kayaks, which could maybe cause a little bit of shiftiness of the vehicle. You're taking that air and moving it all kinds of different directions than the car was accustomed to, so that might have affected it. But maybe rotating the tires also. A lot of times we can balance the wheels, but there's something in the tire causing an imperfection. By moving it to another corner of the vehicle, it might fix itself. So once again, drive it on the highway. That's 65 to 70, unloaded. See how it's handling, how it's driving. Take the off-ramp. See how those brakes feel. If it's back to normal, I wouldn't worry about it at all. If you're still feeling that little pulsation in the pedal, next time you're in for service, have them take a peek at those brakes. If you're still feeling that little looseness or that vibration at the highway speeds, I would take it in. As I mentioned, have them double check the balance of the tires, but also rotate those to different positions and see if it can change that sensation.
Excellent. Thank you very much for the call, Chip. We appreciate it. To the text line, Nick, here is Mary, who says she purchased a battery 5 years ago from Lloyd's. Should she have it checked? It starts without a problem now. And then I'm going to combine the second part of Mary's question with another question having to do with radios in cars. Mary asks, why is an incoming call faded when receiving a call in one's car? And then another texter is saying that they're having trouble with the radio. First off, the screen does not work. And second, the AM and FM stations are pretty static unless they're touching the brake or turning on the turn signal. What do you think about these radio questions? And should Mary get her battery looked at?
So as we transition from summer to fall and then to winter, we should all have our battery tested. Of a brand new vehicle, should be fine. But you get, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old, depending on the vehicle, all the electronics, battery lives usually end around 5 years. So I would say yes, this fall, have that tested, as we all should. And then the comment about the display not working, a lot of times we will see this where there's these multi-purpose displays that handle the radio or the navigation, the climate control. Those screens themselves can be a failure point. Have that looked at, because obviously, you know, the radio is really nice to have, but having your climate control for defrost and air conditioning is also very important. So that way I would not delay. I kind of curious about the comment that, you know, we have a static radio until we apply the brake or use a turn signal. Tells me we have something backfeeding. So now I wonder if there's a bad ground with the radio, the antenna, something had come loose. That probably isn't, it might be a little bit of a needle in the haystack to find. However, I think if it is just a matter of a connection, it's simple repair once you find and locate the problem. So I wouldn't give up hope on that one. I would definitely make a note. These are perfect examples of the details that I always talk about sharing. So, you know, Make a note, make a list, give as much detail. So when you do bring that vehicle in, you can say, when I'm driving the vehicle, my radio staticky. However, when I do this or that, it changes. So therefore, the shop, the folks working on your car can try to have the same test drive and experience it and have the same experience. So therefore, they can identify the problem and make the repair.
So you guys can fix the electronic components like that, correct?
Some can. Some have to be replaced as an assembly. It really depends to what layer. Sometimes, depending on the system and the issues, there's some software update you can do, just like your computer at home. So there's a variety of possibilities depending on the situation and what's available.
And Nick, what do you think about the, you know, the touch screens in our cars? I don't know. In the car that we're driving now, the screen is a little bit bigger, so I don't have too much of a problem with it. But in our old car, it was a pretty small screen where I felt like, you know, this is distracted driving when I'm trying to look down and fiddle around with this touch screen. And you know, it just doesn't seem, I don't know that it seems all that safe. Where do you stand?
Well, I would say when those older screens were new, they were state of the art, and we thought they were pretty neat. You know, you can go further and further back when, you know, things used to be mechanical knobs,
yeah,
you know, roll up, roll down windows. And, you know, to have things that are more electronically controlled, now they're computer controlled, where I think that enhancements keep getting better. But it is always funny when we look back at previous technology. We always kind of look at it like, oh, why did we ever do that? Well, we learn from as we go and make improvements as we go.
Right. Yeah. All righty. It is 727 on CCO. If you have a car-related question for Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, give us a call. Give us a text, 651-461-9226. We have Nick for about 15 more minutes, so get those questions in. Another texter, Nick, asks, can I fix a small rust spot myself on my 2020 CRV? What do you think?
Probably not. What they say about the rust spots, which are not as common as they used to be, you see a little spot on the outside, but behind the paint, it's much larger. So when you peel that onion back, you take that, you know, peel that paint, you're going to find out that little small spot is much larger. You can talk to a lot of the body shops, but I think they're going to advise you the same. Unfortunately, there's not much you can do. You know, people can grind it down and fill it and patch it. It's a temporary fix. You won't be able to get it back the way it was. But I would seek advice before, you know, an auto body shop before I would, you know, take after my paint on my vehicle.
All right. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Texter. It is 728 on CCO. Time for a break. We're taking your calls and questions for Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive, 651-461-9226. Back in a moment. 734 on CCO. We are taking your car-related questions for Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. And the number to call or text, 651-461-9226. Nick, we have another texter on the line. Oh, nope, that's for Ted Farrell coming up here. It's a wine chat question. I have a question for you, though. When you were talking about kind of things to inspect and take a look at yet this summer, one of the things that I was reading about was the importance of inspecting the spare tire in your car. And that high pavement heat can cause hidden dry rot and pressure loss in the trunk or under chassis spares. I have never heard about this before, the importance of inspecting your spare tire. What do you think of that?
I think getting a peek at it isn't the worst idea, especially to ensure it's full of air. Any tire with age will start to deteriorate. So, you know, we're not going to go replace our spare tire, you know, because if it's aged by any means. But when you're in for service, before a road trip, before you're sending this young one off to school or whatever you have planned, that could go on the list also. You know, there's a lot of good texters, a lot of good listeners out there that have a lot of good insight. So, you know, add the spare tire to that list of items that I've looked at, you know, that makes you think as we move into the fall and winter seasons, we have our, you know, we think about the safety kit or our winter kit that we keep in the trunk in the event that we get stranded or stuck. Do we have a shovel, a blanket, some of these things that become important? And, you know, it's kind of one of those things where I think as we still have plenty of summer left, but as we transition, we start thinking about different things with our vehicle and what our plans are.
All right. Thank you, Nick. And Candace, we have a caller on the line.
Ron from Maple Grove.
Hi, Ron. What's your question for Nick?
Yeah, good morning. I've got a 2023 Toyota Hybrid Highlander, and the extended warranty, or the warranty of 36,000, is about up. And I was wondering what your suggestion is as far as extended warranty. Am I better going off back to Toyota and get an extended warranty, or am I better going to someone else? And then I have a second question as far as the hybrid battery and stuff. How do I know if I'm the battery's in good shape and stuff like that? There doesn't seem to be an easy way of measuring or finding out about it.
No, the battery is pretty self-sufficient. The vehicle's designed, if there are any issues, it's absolutely going to alert you. I'm sure that battery, you know, like we see older Well, you said they had a Toyota. We see older Toyotas, you know, 12, 15 years old that we, and some of those Priuses that we replaced some batteries. So I think the longevity of the battery is sufficient. I wouldn't be concerned about that. Back to your first question about extended warranties. Be very careful. Read the fine print. You know, my opinion has typically been if you take that amount of money that it's going to cost to purchase this warranty and you put that in a savings account, accrue a little bit of interest, my opinion is most of the time you're going to find they have a little bit of money left over versus what would have happened. Now, obviously, a catastrophic problem, which can be very expensive, is a better value there. So it's a matter of opinion, but it really comes down to the fine print. I wouldn't go just based on the salesperson selling you the contract because a lot of times they're going to tell you the pluses, not the minuses. Maybe get a couple to compare. Always read the what's not covered. And, you know, hopefully that can give you better information to make a better informed decision. But typically, like I said, I'd take that money, I'd put it in the savings account. And I think majority of the time you'll find out that you have a little bit of money left over after that period of that warranty.
Thanks for the call, Ron. And Nick, that inspired me for two questions here about batteries. First of all, is the battery, are batteries the same in a hybrid car as they are in just a conventional car? And is the heat actually harder on your battery than the cold? What? Tell me about these batteries.
So vehicles have a 12-volt battery, as they always have, that kind of controls the lighting and all the systems that we see and use. The hybrid or even an electric vehicle has a much larger voltage, larger capacity battery just for that system. So there are two different systems. One's a high-voltage system, varying voltage depending on the make, and the other is a 12-volt system that we've had for decades. So there are two different batteries. The 12-volt battery that we have in a car, that's the one where the texter asked you to have a test and it's 5 years old. Yes, that's the battery that we replace on a schedule, I could say. The hybrid battery, electric car battery, something you might replace once in the life of the vehicle, but that's going to be a decade plus down the road. So I wouldn't, you know, take into consideration the replacement of the battery because they're expensive, but I don't think it's enough of a worry because it's so far down the road that it'll be, you know, hundreds of thousands of miles in a, you know, 15 years down the road. I wouldn't be worried about it. And what was the second part of your question again?
The second part had to do with
heat.
Yeah, is heat harder on a car battery than cold?
So the heat and vibration is what deteriorates the battery, but we don't notice it until it's the dead of winter and we need that reserve. So as a battery deteriorates and ages, it loses its capacity. On the coldest mornings is when we need that capacity to get the vehicle to start. So, you know, the wear and tear, if the battery's not mounted properly, if it's loose and kind of bouncing around, that can be hard on it. Those really hot days. And keep in mind, we've had some hot temperatures here, but we're really complaining about the humidity. You go down in the southwest part of the country where it's over 100 degrees ambient temperature, that is equally as hard, if not more harder, on a battery. So it's, we're feeling it here for a week or two, and we don't like it. But, you know, you go to some areas of the country where they have it for a month. So it's different depending where you are. But in reverse, on the winter months in those areas, they don't need that same capacity as we do when that's a sub-zero morning and the oil's thick and the engine's cold. It takes more power to get that engine turning over. So it's kind of a combination of the two.
Got it. You've been talking a little bit lately about this being the time of year where a lot of parents are getting ready to send that kid off to college, maybe with a car, and some of the things they should be checking to make sure that car is in good shape for being farther away. Is a battery one of those things where you really want to make sure that this, it's a good, solid, maybe a new battery if this kid has a car, say, up in Duluth, you know, through the winter and needs to make sure they can get to school?
You know, definitely checking the age of the battery. You can do a load test, which tells you the capacity of the battery today. Obviously, that changes as time goes along. But I think it's fair to say having all those items, you know, like we talk about the batteries, the tires, the brakes, the wiper blades, the spare tire. You know, the list can be long. If you take 5 minutes and just think about those items, jot them down, share that with your shop or your mechanic. They might have a few to add to the list, too, on things that we look at before you do send that young person off to whichever end of the state or country it is.
Yeah, good. All right, Nick. Well, helpful information as always. Thank you so very much. And thank you to our texters and our callers. Nick is with us every Saturday morning at this time for your car care questions. And I hope you have a fantastic weekend. We will see you soon.
Sounds good. Enjoy the beautiful weather.
Yes, I certainly will. Thank you so much. It's 7:42 on WCCO. Coming up, Ted Farrell and his weekly wine chat from Haskell's will join Ted in just a moment.